Greetings and welcome to another edition, the third edition in fact, of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast of the football addicts community. Alright, so in the previous pod I spoke about players that I liked, that I would consider bringing into my team and potentially your team, from the teams in alphabetical order from A to Leicester. I'll keep going on with the theme, looking at each team, looking at players that I think are underpriced and overpriced, and having a look at some of the players that I would consider bringing in according to fixture, ownership, general statistics, and some of my observations. So that brings us to Liverpool. Their fixtures are pretty mixed. I currently don't have any Liverpool players in my draft. I guess maybe it's a bit of a wait and see, but there's definitely value here. I'll probably wait to see what happens with Sterling. But yeah, there's a lot of value in the midfield. Not a great deal. See with Ings, it looks like Sturridge is still injured. So let's have a look at keepers. Mignolet's coming at 5, so that's 0.5 less in price in comparison to what he was last season, which is not surprising because of the price of all the keepers went down by 0.5 because of the changes to the bonus system. So he comes in at 5. It's good value. If their fixtures were better, I'd probably consider bringing him in. If they show a bit more resolution at the back, I'd consider bringing him in as well. All right, so let's move on. So I wouldn't be bringing him in. I'd be finding the budget. If you want to go for a big hitter keeper, I'd stretch the budget to try and either fit in Courtois or Cech. All right, so let's move on to defenders. Sarko is underpriced. If I was to get a Liverpool defender, it would be him, only because he is 0.5 cheaper than the rest of the nailed-on defenders, and I think he's nailed on. He will play. I mean, Rodgers will realise that he needs to be played because he's a good defender. Klein's 5.5, Skrtel's 5.5. They will probably mop up the bonus, but I think that 0.5 from Sarko is worth exploiting. Sarko has been in some of my drafts, but he isn't at the moment. There's nothing else apart from those guys. So yeah, I think Sarko's on the price. He is worth bringing in. I had him as a second defender. He would be a second defender that he'd be the head of my four-man defender rotation. But at the moment, he is not in my draft. But he is the one that I would consider because he is underpriced, because I think he's nailed on. All right, so let's move on to midfielders. So the big one here is Jordan Henderson. I think he's at 7. I think he's underpriced. He's on penalties. I think he's on set pieces, I'm pretty sure. I'll just check that. I'll come back. He's on penalties, so that's pretty big for him. I'm considering him. He's not in my draft at the moment. Henderson's at a funny price. That sort of between 7 million to 8 million. That price is a funny one. Hasn't been particularly successful. It's usually midfield is cheaper than that, more expensive than that, that tend to be a bit more successful. So just go to price, go to 7. It's a funny one, yeah, because you've got Willian, no, Morales, no, Milner, well, maybe, Nasri, no, he's not nailed on, Herrera, no, not really, Tadic, no, Chadli, maybe, Lamella, AU from Swansea. I mean, they're all, like, it's a funny price bracket. Henderson's the pick of all those, by far. Like, he stands out. But I'd just be hesitant because I think there's better value in the price bracket between 6 and 7 and the price, and definitely at 8.5. I mean, there's a whole bunch of players that I love at 8.5. I'm just thinking, because he's in that funny price bracket, I'm not sure. I'm definitely not keen on downgrading my 8.5 player to Henderson, and I don't want to stretch my budget from a 6 to a 7 because I'm pretty happy with my 6 and I'm pretty happy with my 8.5s. 8.5s in my team at the moment. That's the only reason I probably haven't gone for him. But if you get him, then that's good. I think, and he's good. He's a good player. His ownership's at 7%, which is pretty low. So it could be a handy little differential. I'd say his ownership. Oh no, it's not. No, his ownership's huge. What am I talking about? No, Henderson's hugely owned. Yeah, he's at 24%. So he's all. Yeah, he's probably worth bringing in. And I didn't realize his ownership was so high. Because if he starts going well, he's gonna hurt you. So I would just keep an eye on that. So yeah, definitely Henderson. He's underpriced. His ownership's quite high. His ownership was very high back end of last season, because he was so cheap. He was pretty. I think he was more. He was pretty creative, and he scored a goal here and there. So he's definitely worth keeping an eye on. Obviously, you've got Coutinho, Firmino. I need to see more from Coutinho before considering him. He needs to start, considering some clinicalness in his finishing. Firmino, definitely wait and see. And that's pretty well it. I mean, you've got Lallana. He's not nailed on. Is it Chan? I think it's Chan or something. The German Turkish dude. He will play. It's looking like him and Sterling might get the two deep or centre midfield spots. He's a wait and see. So yeah, definitely consider Henderson. Forwards, nothing. Ings, he was all right last season. I think he had a little patch there, purple patch. Then he did nothing for like 3, 4 months. Sturridge is injured. Balotelli, no, obviously not. Lambert, no. Breeny's gone, I think. So yeah, Ings at a snip, probably not. There's heaps better value out there, and his ownership's highest too. His ownership's at 18%. That's a bit funny. I'd expect that to change. Look at Nathaniel Kwan's ownership, 40%. Interesting. He's pretty popular. But yeah, I wouldn't be getting him in. All right, let's move on. Let's transition on to Man City. Okay, so yeah, the same as the other big hitter keepers. Joe Hart's at 5.5. City need to prove to me that they are a bit better in defense before I start looking at them. And they're a shots team. They like to shoot a lot. But before I consider getting their defenders in, they need to show a bit more because there's no really underpriced guys here. Company 6, nah. Looks like Mangala will be his partner. He's 5.5. If he was 5, I'd consider him. Clichy 5.5. Kolarov 5.5. Nah, all 5.5. Nothing underpriced there. Zabaleta's at 6. I wouldn't be looking at City defenders yet. Let's look at the midfield. The Silva at 10, probably good season. His best season for a while. I think it was his best season ever. Let's have a look. 191. Yeah, it's his best season. 2011-12 was good too. That I had him in for that whole season, I think. So he's priced at 10. It's probably about right. But if you look at Yaya Toure, he's at 8.5. Now that he is drastically underpriced. His shooting stats were almost identical to Silva's. Obviously, his creativity stats weren't as good. I think Toure is good value. That mean Silva is, if you get Silva, that's fine. Silva's good. I think Yaya Toure is good value at 8.5. He didn't score as many goals last year. What he did, that crazy season before, but his shooting stats were actually better last season. He was shooting more. So he's definitely undervalued this season. And if Aguero is out initially, whether it's for the first, 1, 2, 3 fixtures, Toure will be on penalties as well. And yeah, they get a penalty, and they might do. I think they've got someone like Silva hot, hovering around and. Think a few of their players like to get penalties, then he's going to be one to reap the rewards. So yeah, Silva, Toure, Navas, good shooting stats, just didn't score. And Nasri is the other one, but I don't know. He's interesting. It's just not nailed on. And that's probably it from there. So Silva or Toure, I would consider Toure over Silva. Okay, let's move on to the forward. So it's just Aguero, obviously. He's 13. He's overpriced because he's injury prone, but he will be essential once, if he's fit. So, yeah. I don't have him, but I have a plan to get him in. Whether I use one of my wild cards, or I just do like a little bit of surgery, my plan, I take one hit to get him in. I'll be downgrading like Rooney to Benteke, and then upgrading Costa to Aguero. Just a quick little, you know, -4 points hit. So that's my plan. If you don't have him, I suggest that you have some kind of plan to get him in. Because if he's fit, he's essential, because his ownership's going to skyrocket. He's at 24% now. So 20% of the game own him. And that will change it. That'll probably go down once people realise he's probably not going to start the season. Alright, so that's City. Cool, let's move on to United. Alright, heaps of value in United. I wouldn't be considering any defenders yet. De Gea at 5.5, he's obviously leaving. If he leaves and Valdez, they don't sign another striker. Is it Victor Valdez, the old Barca dude? If he stays, then he's definitely worth a look at 5 million. So let's move on to the defenders. Smalling's at 6, no. Shaw 5.5, yeah. Jones. It looks like Smalling's pretty well nailed on. And I think they might sign another defender. It looks like it'd be Smalling and Jones in the middle if they play with four defenders at the back. It's a bit scary. Smalling's alright. It's improved a bit. Jones doesn't seem to be improving. Then you've got, and I suppose, Has Shaw got the left back spot? I think him and Blind were vying over it. And right back will be the new dude, Darmian, who is not added yet. Varela, who's that? That's not Darmian. So the new right back hasn't been added. I thought he was. I'm pretty sure he's 5.5 anyway. So yeah. So not a great deal of value there. If there was a nailed on defender at 5, then yeah, there's some value, but doesn't look like there is. So anyway, let's move on. So nothing in defence for United. Right here, midfield. So yeah, this is where it's at. I mean, this is where the 8.5 price bracket for FPL the midfielders is really, really rich. We've got Memphis Depay 8.5, scary high ownership, 22%, definitely worth looking at. Herrera is deep, probably not really. Right, Juan Mata 8.5, and he's nailed on. Di Maria 8.5, not nailed on, injured, and then the rest are just nothings. So yeah. You're looking at Mata or Depay. For me, I have Mata in my draft at the moment. He's nailed on. He's on penalties. He's an attacking midfielder for like a really good attacking team. I would consider Depay, even though it's probably a bit risky. I mean, we don't know like how good he's going to be. I mean, we know he was good in the Dutch league. He's a shot monster. I think he scored like 22 goals or something last season, which is crazy for a winger. I'll definitely consider him. If you do take the risk and get him, his ownership's really high. So I mean, then that's a good thing, because if he fails, then it won't kill your overall ranking too much. So I'm actually liking to pay more and more, only because his ownership's so high. But I've got Mata. I think he's good. Good creative stats last season. Shooting stats weren't great. His goal conversion was high, which is probably not a good thing, but I just like him. I think he's a good player. When I had him last season, he did pretty well. So yeah, that's it. Depay, Mata, and Di Maria when he is fit. Yeah, I mean, Di Maria, he's a fantastic player. He'd have to consider himself pretty lucky to get dropped. He took heaps of shots. He created heaps of chances when he was starting. If he's fit and he's nailed on, he is in my team at 8.5. He's underpriced by like 1. Mata's underpriced by probably 0.5. Depay, well, he's probably just about right. All right, so let's move on to the forwards. Wayne Rooney, he is it. He's underpriced. He is definitely worth looking at. I don't have him in my draft at the moment, but I probably will have him. It's really between him and Harry Kane at the moment in that striker role. So yeah, definitely Rooney is definitely one to look at. Underpriced. He's had slow starts in the past, but he's also had really hectic, crazy good starts as well. So yeah, definitely worth looking at there. All right, so that's United. They're a pretty interesting team this year. A lot of value in the midfield. Defense isn't worth looking at yet because that's not very good. But yeah, so yeah, Rooney in the striking role. Actually, Van Gaal, the manager, yesterday or today said that Depay might get a striking role. Whether that means Rooney will play secondary striker role or they'll play like two up top, I'm not sure. If they play two up top and Rooney plays a secondary role, then he's still worth getting in because it didn't, like, I think they sort of played that with Van Persie for a while and Rooney still kept up. So that's definitely worth looking at as well. Cool. So let's move on to the next team. We're up to Newcastle. I'm a Newcastle tragic. So yeah, and I know this team pretty well, and there's not a lot going on worth getting in, just because we just don't know what McLaren's going to do with this team. Apparently, the signing of, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, is that Dutch attacking, I think it's an attacking midfielder, Wijnaldum or something, it's a really strange name. Looks like that's confirmed, and by all reports, he's a very good player. I've looked at his stats on who scored, and he scored 14 goals or something last season, and close to 10 assists. So he obviously looks like a very good player, and hopefully he fits into the system. But apart, you know, there's not much going on here. I mean, you're not going to get any Newcastle defenders unless you fend a nice rotation. Yan Mat is probably the only one I would consider at five because he's so creative and he boasts so much threat. But I wouldn't touch any of the others yet. All right, let's move on to midfielders. So we've got Sissoko, I would consider. Actually, no, he gets involved in the final third a lot, but I don't know. If there's anyone I would consider, it'd be, De Jong, CM De Jong, De Jong, whatever. He is the only one that I would consider. When he played, he looked good, but yeah, so injury prone. He had a collapsed lung, for goodness sake, so I'm not sure. Apart from those two, there's nothing. Cabela, I would have to see more. He posted some pretty decent stats, but just didn't score. And I think his attitude seems to be a problem, I think. So only considered De Jong there. Strikers, Cisse boasted crazy shooting stats last year. When he was on the field, he was scoring and he was getting shots away. If you're a Maverick, I would probably consider him. But this is Newcastle we're talking about. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. His stats are really crazy. I probably can't delve into too much. He was taking a chance every 20... He was shooting every 27 minutes. His shot accuracy was unsustainable. Well, it wasn't unsustainable. It's the same as Harry Kane's and Aguero's. So he took... When he played, 45 shots, 33 inside the box. That's good. 19 shots on target. Shot accuracy of 42%. That's pretty sustainable. There's a couple of guys that are higher than him in the top strikers. Yeah, I would probably consider him. Depends whether he's nailed it or not. I'm not sure. They might sign someone else. Interesting. I would keep him on the watch list. But Newcastle, I think it was Newcastle's fixtures are horrible, I'm pretty sure. Let's have a quick look. Yeah, Southampton at home, that'd be tough. They might score a goal, but won't be many. Swansea away, nut. Man U away, nut. Arsenal at home, nut. West Ham away, it's a bit wonky. And then you get Watford in game week 6. So yeah, pretty bad fixtures. Yeah, hold off. Just watch. They're a wait and see. Good old Newcastle. Looking forward to seeing how their signings fit into the team. Interesting. All right, cool. Let's move on. Norwich, the second of our promoted contingent. So, yeah, if you find a good 3-4-way rotation for the goalkeepers and defenders, definitely do it. So Ruddy's first choice. You might remember him from when Norwich were previously bouncing around the Premier League. I think they're back for... I don't even know, actually. No, I'd imagine Sebastian Bissong would be in there. Russell Martin, no. I'm not sure who else is nailed on. I can't tell you. Olsen will be left back. Martin Olsen. Bessong will be in the middle. Højvæld. Not sure. Oh, I'll have to come back. I'm not too sure. But yeah, if you're going to pick anyone, apparently there's no 4.0 defenders available, so it'll be Whittaker, Russell Martin, Bessong, and Olsen. Maybe, oh, who's Turner? Michael Turner, he might be in there as well. So yeah, it's one of those five. So I'd probably, you have to pick Olsen, I suppose. Yeah, he's got the Premier League experience. I know he boasts a bit of attacking intent whenever I've seen him play. The Blackburn fella. Cool, so let's move on to the midfielders. There's a few guys here I consider. Nathan Redmond, Bradley Johnson, Wes Houlihan, if he is nailed on. And I do think he would be. I think he was their attacking midfielder last season. Bradley Johnson and Redmond were in the Norwich team prior to them going down. They both posted good stats from the Championship last season. Ripped the league apart. At 5.5, it's not a good price for a fifth midfielder. It's too much. Fourth midfielder, maybe. If you need that 0.5 from your, if you want to downgrade your 6 million midfielder to a 5.5, yep, could consider it. I think there's still a Championship team coming up. I'd probably hold off and go for someone that you can trust a bit more. I remember Redmond was really erratic when he was in the Premier League. I like Bradley Johnson. I'd probably go him if you wanted someone. So yeah, either Redmond, Johnson, or Houlihan if you want someone from them. But yeah, I'd probably hold off. I think there's better value at six in the six midfielders. And that moves us on to strikers. And there is, I'd met they'll probably sign someone. Gary Cooper, is that Cameron Jerome? Yep. Yeah, he was always pretty crappy in the Premier League. Van Wolfswinkel, what a disaster he was! Absolutely not. So yeah, I wouldn't touch any of those strikers. That's why they're so cheap. Cool. So that's Norwich. A few of my thoughts on the Norwich team. I reckon Redmond and Johnson. Actually, I've my reflectly reflecting on all the promoted teams. I find some of those sort of the better midfielders are a little bit overpriced. I probably wouldn't pay 5.5 for Johnson and Redden. I certainly wouldn't pay 6 for Matty Ritchie from Bournemouth. Yeah, I'd hold off. I'd just wait and see. I mean, it won't be hard to downgrade your 6 or 7 midfielder to one of them if they turn out to be a bit of a bandwagon. All right, so let's move on. That was Norwich. Southampton. Cool. Interesting. I like Southampton. I think everyone does. So let's start with the goalkeeper. So it looks like Fraser Forss is still out for extended period of time. That leaves us with the old Dutch fella, is it Martin Stekelenburg. Yeah, he's five. Would you bring him in? I'm not sure. I mean, there is a defender that's the same price, and I'd probably go him. If I can remember correctly, I don't think the Southampton keeper, I don't think they'll rack up bonus. I think because they're such a good side, they'll rack up the clean sheets, but they won't rack up bonus. Yeah, so maybe hold off with Stekelenburg. I think you could probably find a maybe. Yeah, well, I guess you just find the budget and get a big hitter keeper if you want to pay that much for a keeper. All right, so let's move on to the defense. We've got Jose Font, Bertrand, who is injured, and looks like they'll probably sign another centre back to pair with Font. Currently, it'll be Yoshida, and then the new signing, Cedric Suarez. I think that's how you pronounce it. He is nailed on it right back, and at five, he is the pick. While Bertrand is out injured, Matty Target will be playing in his stead, but I don't think Bertrand will be out for long. I would take a risk and put Target in if you've got a plan to upgrade, or he doesn't fit into your rotation, or he does, and then but you don't need him for when Bertrand gets back, or you just You just stretch your budget, so you've got Cedric. I have Cedric at the moment. I think he's going to be good. And actually, in the virtual sports game, he has come in at base price as well. So, yeah, he's pretty well... it's pretty well essential for that game at 3.6. Cool, so that's the defense. Yeah, I would just consider Cedric. I wouldn't consider Font or all the bonus changes and and those kinds of things. Just save your pennies and pick Cedric, because he's going to rack up tackles anyway. I mean, look at Nathaniel Klein. Nathaniel Klein's going to rack up the bonus because he tackles a lot, and, you know, Cedric will as well. Okay, so let's move on to the midfielders. Yes, there's a few options. The main one is Sadio Mane. He's overpriced. That's pretty obvious at 8.0 million. But with those fixtures, if you get him, I do not blame you. He has been in some of my drafts, because I have two 8.5 million midfielders, and having that 0.5 from there tends to sort of help, you know, help the defense out a bit. But I don't have him at the moment because he is overpriced. But if you get him in, then that's a pretty good pick. I had him for a lot, long periods of time last season, and his stats were pretty good. Like, some games he shot a lot, other games he didn't. I held him for ages. He was a differential. He didn't get past like 2% ownership, and then I sold him on my wild card game week 36, and he decides to bust out, scoring like 20 goals in like 2 minutes. Now, just really annoyed me, and it just brings back bad memories. But he is still a good pick. Tadic, I wouldn't go near yet. Ward-Prowse at 6, no way, way too expensive. And that's it. And then you've got Wanyama at 4.5, and he's a pretty good pick for a fifth midfielder, just to save on those pennies. I mean, he's not going to score any goals. Actually, I remember he scored a couple of goals last season, but yeah, you won't play him any weeks. He's just there. He's just to save money. So, yeah, he's not bad for a fifth midfielder pick. But yeah, Mane is definitely the one to be looking at there. And that moves us on to the forwards. This is pretty interesting. Like, Pella will have the striking role nailed down. No one's talking about him. I'm not really sure why. I mean, he's had one season to get used to the Premier League, and you'd think that this would be a season for him to kick on. His shooting stats are always good. He just misses so many chances, and I think that's the problem. And I think we've also got Jay Rodriguez coming back. Now, he played his first game back for the first preseason game for Southampton, and he scored twice coming off the bench. This is a funny one. I like these players. I wouldn't get Shane Long because he's not nailed on. Juanmi, we're not sure what's going to happen with him yet. I think Rodriguez is a good pick at 7. Pella, I'm not sure about. If you're going to pick a Southampton striker, I'd probably pick Rodriguez, to be honest. I'd take a risk on him. Yeah, Pella at 8. I think he was 8. I think he was 7.5 last season, or 7. If he was 7, I'd consider him, but at 8, just a bit too much for me when you've got players like Gomez and Sarko running around at 6.57. Yeah, that's my thoughts there. Probably not so much Pella. I'd consider Rodriguez, but I'd definitely consider Mane in the midfield. Definitely. All right, so let's move on. Cool. Moving on to Tottenham. Cool. There is... I wouldn't be getting a Tottenham defender, but... Loris is at 5, which is probably about right. Alderweireld, I think that's how you pronounce it. The Belgian dude who's just signed, he's at 5. He is my pick amongst those guys because he's just the cheapest nailed-on dude. Because it'll be him and Vertonghen in the middle. Trippier will start on the right. Rose will start on the left. They're all 5.5. Get Alderweireld if you're going to get any Tottenham defenders. And he's a good player. I mean, he's a good defender. I mean, as... you know, good evidence from Southampton. He might shore up the defence. I think, what are Spurs fixtures like? Clean sheets, Tottenham fixtures. Not too bad. Man U away, you wouldn't play him. Stoke at home, Leicester away, you'd play it. And then they've got three prime fixtures. So their fixtures are pretty good. He might be worth bringing in. I don't mind him at all. He might be worth it. So you've got like a big hitter defender, then you've got him, and then you've got your three sort of 3.4.5s. Because I've got Cedric at the moment. He might be worth getting rid of and just putting him in. And look at that later. Cool, awesome. Rightio, so yeah, as, you know, just from that, my little reflection there, I would definitely consider bringing him in. Good stuff. Rightio, let's move on to the midfielders. We've got probably three players I'll consider. Chadley, yeah, I'll consider him. Eriksen, no one's talking about him. He's 8.5, and that he's probably overpriced, so I wouldn't consider him yet. Especially when you've got like a plethora of better midfielders at that same on that same price, and you've got Lamella, and he's just annoying. Nah. So yeah, Chadley I would consider, and you can see other people thinking the same thing because his ownership's 5% higher than Lamella's. Yeah, I'd consider Chadley. I wouldn't consider Lamella. Yeah, but if you want to get down to the nitty gritty, you can go ahead and look at their stats and compare them. But I'd imagine Chadley's would be better. Yeah, cool. So that moves. Let's move on to the forward. So Kane's our man, 9.5, probably priced about right. 31% ownership. Definitely consider bringing him in, primarily because so many people are going to have him. If you start scoring, you are rooted. I got rid of him. I think everyone had him. He broke the game last season. He broke it. And I had him for ages, and then I got rid of him toward the end of the season because I wanted to boost my overall ranking, so I got rid of him, brought in differentials, and his goal scoring stopped a little bit, but he was still getting, his points were still trickling in, and every time he did something, it affected my overall ranking. So I've got him in at the moment. He's in my draft at the moment. He's not going to not stop scoring. He's going to keep scoring. I mean, we know that. Just depends whether you want to take that risk and not go with him. So it's really, for me, it's either him or Wayne Rooney. Or I've got two striker spots, big hitter striker spots, three potential players: Rooney, Costa, Kane. At the moment, I've got Kane because I like Juan Mata as well. I've got him for that bit of United coverage, but that'll probably change. I like Rooney. I think Rooney's a no-brainer at 10.5. So yeah, so that's Tottenham. Kane is definitely worth considering, no doubt. All right, let's move on. Stoke. Oh, I like Stoke this year. The numbers they posted last season suggests for me that they're going to kick on. I think there's a lot of value in this team at the moment. All right, so let's start with our keeper. Begovic looks like he's on his way out. So Butland is come in at 4.5. Definitely worth considering if you're going for the 4.5 goalkeeper route, and then you can sort of pick another goalkeeper at the same price to rotate. Him and Ruddy rotate quite well. And he also rotates with a number of other keepers as well. And I'll just have a quick look and find out who else he rotates with. Stoke. I thought Stoke and West Brom rotated, but maybe they don't. We've got Stoke and Norwich, and Stoke and Swansea. Yeah, I wouldn't look at the Swansea one. I'll look at, yeah, definitely Norwich. Stoke and Norwich. Both the keepers come to 9 million, and you've got a whole bunch of sweet fixtures for the first, like, 26 game weeks or something. I like that. Definitely consider Butland if you're going down that route. Okay. Let's move on to defence. So there will be a 4.5 defender from Stoke playing. We don't know who it is yet. It'll either be Jeff Cameron. I think Phil Bardsley's hovering around. I don't think it'll be him, but we've got this German fellow, Philip Walshied, potentially. And we've got Mark Munieza, I think that's how I pronounce it. So, and we've got Mark Wilson. So they are the 4.5s that could potentially get a spot. Now, we're not entirely sure who was nailed on, but someone will be. So, if you're interested in the Stoke defender, and I am, into like a nice little three-way, four-way rotation, then we just have to keep our ears to the floor and just analyse the preseason, see who's going to get that spot. I think Jeff Cameron will get the spot. He played the back end of last season. Muniesa was playing because Walshed was injured, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah, so there's going to be one there, so we have to keep an eye out. All right, so let's move on to the midfield. So there are two options for me. Charlie Adam is one, and Arnautović is the other, and Arnautović is his first name, Marco, the big Austrian. I like both these guys. I actually have Charlie Adam. No one's talking about him. He boasts, like, crazy shooting stats. You probably find 80% of his shots will come outside the box, which is a bad thing for Fantasy Premier League. If you want an attacking midfielder, you want him taking shots from inside the box. But his creativity stats are pretty good. In terms of assists and shot contribution, he's the fourth best player in the league off from last season. He's the fourth best player. I think first was Aguero. Like, second or third was actually Angel Di Maria. So that's why I like him. And the other was Wilfred Bonny from his Swansea days. But obviously that's past us, so we can't consider him. So yeah, that's why I like Charlie Adam. For those things, and for also the fact that he's on set pieces and he's on penalties as well. And he's nailed on. The last 10 games of last season, he scored 5 goals. I think he's a good pick. But the only thing that scares me are his shooting location stats. I don't like it, but I think the penalties and set pieces sort of offsets that a bit. So they're the two. And Arnautović, he boasts good shooting stats. And I think he's a good player. I think he'll kick on here. He had his first season last season. I think it was his first season last season. And, he was pretty good. Apart from those two, I wouldn't consider anyone else. Odem Wingie, he's not nailed on. Steven Ireland, I think he's lost his spot. Cool, so let's move on to the strikers. We have, I think it's Joselu, who's just come, who'd be looking for a spot. We've got Bojan, who I like, who I would consider. And then we have Diouf. Mame Baram Diouf. Bit of a minefield at the moment. Like, if Diouf was nailed on, I'd probably have him because I like him. He's a good player. Whenever I've seen him, he's always impressed me. And Stoke look good, and I like him. But he's not entirely nailed on now with the new signing. Bojan is probably nailed on, and he'll probably play, like, the secondary striker role. I like him at 5.5. He's underpriced. He's good value. He's just risky. Small, very tight, 2.1% ownership. But he's been in one of my drafts. Well, so is Diouf, actually. And then I sort of worked out that he wasn't completely nailed on. I like that. I like those two a lot. I like Bojan a lot. I like him as differential. He's a good punt. But I probably wouldn't risk him yet. He's a bit risky. A bit too risky. So, yeah. So, that's Stoke. There's a lot of value in Stoke. I'm definitely. I have Charlie Adam in my draft at the moment. I like him a lot. Cool. So let's move on to Sunderland. Cool. So I like Sunderland. There's a bit of value in the defense. Pantilimon as a goalkeeper. He's coming at 5. He's overpriced, but I think the whole change to the bonus system was primarily because of him. I think that Arsenal match last season where he saved like 20 shots on target and he didn't get any bonus at all. All the Arsenal defenders got bonus because they passed a lot. Now, so they've upped his price. He's gone up to 5 and he's going to get lots of bonus now. But I think he's still overpriced and you may as well pay the 0.5 for it. Big hitter keeper. They're my thoughts. And I don't think Pantilimon's entirely nailed on either. I think Mignone's still there. Mignone saved a penalty the other morning in the preseason match. I think there's even potential for Mignone to get his spot back. Okay, so let's move on to the defenders. Van Aanholt's coming at 5. He's overpriced. I like this new fella. Adam Matthews, he's nailed on, I'm pretty sure. He's going to get that right-back role. He's going to beat Billy Jones, the right-back. And it looks like Sebastian Coates and John O'Shea will get the two central positions. So it's up to you. I've got Adam Matthews because I've heard he's a good player. People rate him, and I think he's going to probably rack up the tackles, and I think he'll get good bonus. So I'm going for him. I like a Sunderland defender because they have good fixtures and they fit into a lot of nice little 3-4-way rotations. Let's move on to the midfield. I wouldn't even bother. You got the normal guys, Larsen, Gomez, maybe at a pinch, but nothing. Forwards, no. Not even going to bother talking about them. Cool, so let's move on to Swansea. Fabianski at 5, no. No for me. I think Swansea are going to regress. In defenders, Ashley Williams has come in at 5. Ran Hell's at 4.5. I think he's still nailed on, isn't he? Cole Norton's at 5. Who's going to be their back four? Fernandes, Williams in the middle, they're 5. Tabanu will vie Neil Taylor for the right back. The left back, sorry. Right back is Ran Hell. No, Cole Norton. No, what did I say? Cole Norton. Oh, so Ranhell's not nailed on. Keep an eye out for that, guys. If Ranhell gets a spot and he's at 4.5, that's not too bad. But yeah, no, I don't. He mustn't be then. It must be Norton. Yeah, he mustn't be. Yeah, cool. So yeah, all in Swansea defense at 5. No thanks. They're going to regress. Sigurdsson 7.5. Overpriced. I'd consider getting in Ki Sung-yung at 5.5. He's a good price. AU, yep, that's pretty interesting. 7. Shelby, I'd consider at 5.5 at a snip. Montero, I'd probably consider if he's nailed on, and that's it. So Sigurdsson's the only one that's probably nailed on, but I think he's overpriced at 7.5. Again, he's at funny price bracket, and there's so much better for a million cheaper. And his ownership's not too high; it's 9.3. So if you go with Adam, it's not as risky as last season. If you traded at Sigurdsson and he scored a goal, like you're buggered last season. That was your season finished. Or like you'd go back 5 weeks and try and work your way back up again. So Sigurdsson probably not. Yep, Ki Sung-yung I like. AU, I'll take a punt on him. He's at 8% ownership, so that's not too bad. And Shelby, I don't mind. Shelby and Montero, 5.5 and 6. Yeah, I'd consider them as a punt. Montero at 6 is interesting. He's not nailed on, but he's a good player. So, yeah, so that's my thoughts on them. Forwards, Gomez at 7. Yeah, definitely a differential. He's one to consider. Was posting good shooting stats back in the last season. No one's talking about him. He's totally going under the radar. I'm not sure why. What are their fixtures like? Chelsea away. Oh, yuck. They have 2 Man U at home. Yeah, okay, they could score. They're Watford away, Everton at home. They have five like decent fixtures after the Chelsea one. Maybe that's probably that. I suppose that initial Chelsea fixture is probably turning people off. But yeah, if he starts to score, I would consider bringing him in. That bandwagon will fly. Botafemi Gomez, I think that's his name. Yeah, Bafatimbi Gomez. Gomez, there you go. Yep, I'll consider him. He's a good player too. He's a powerful striker. Fits in the system really well. All right, let's move on. What have we got? 3 teams left. Oh, our W's. There's always a lot of W's in the Premier League. Watford. They've keepers. They've signed a new fella named Arlauskas. He might get the spot over Gomez. Whenever I see that name Gomez, Geraldo, I just think of his absolute bloody howlers he had at Tottenham. If you find a good rotation with Watford, go for it. I think Watford will shore up defensively because they've signed Kapui, and they've also signed that Swiss dude who's a deep-lying midfielder, very, very experienced. All right, so let's look at their defenders. Prodl will start in the middle. Holobaz, the new Greek fellow, will probably start on the right. León, Mexican defender. I think he's a left back. And then we've got Paredes. I think they are the four defenders, and they're all 4.5. So just take your pick. I don't know who's going to get the bonus from those ones. They're the four. Take your pick. If you find a good rotation to stick them in. There's no 4.0 defenders there. Right, let's move on to the midfielders. I actually have Ketchy Anya as my fifth midfielder at 4.5. Ketchy Anya. He's a Scottish international. I think he's an African by African descent. I have him. He's a left-sided winger, and I think in the last eight games last season he got four assists or something. He's sort of going under the radar a bit. I don't mind him. But apparently Abdi will be a good pick too. Alman Abdi. I'm not too sure what's happening there. I think he might be an attacking midfielder. But they're the only two I'd consider there from Watford. All right, and that brings us to our strikers. Troy Deeney. He's the pick here. He's on penalties. He's a good player. He tore the league apart last season. He's the one to bring in. Ighalo is another one. Odion Ighalo is another one I'd consider as well. He's supposed to be quite a good player. So yeah, there's value there. Deeney's a good pick for a third striker. If you feel like, you know, going a bit risky and you want to rotate your fifth midfielder and your third striker, Deeney would be a good pick. I'm not sure who do they rotate with. Let's have a quick look. Watford. Can't see. There's none there. I mean, they would rotate someone. I mean, you just have to look at the fixtures. They rotate. They home and away rotate with Aston Villa, I think. No, they're both away straight up. Who's the other one? West Brom. What is West Brom? I thought it was one of the Midlands team. Watford from the Midlands? They might be from the North. Where's West Brom? No, they don't either. I can't remember, but yeah, you might want to do that. You might want to pay an extra 0.5 on your fifth midfielder, and rotate with your third striker. It's an option. I don't like it because the chances are the guy that scores points will be on your bench. You're just better off going like a super cheap midfielder and not worrying about it. I'm just investing in the rest of your team. All right, cool. So that is Watford. Alright, moving on to West Brom. Tony Pulis is West Brom. My Hull at 4.5 is very good value. Find a good rotation with him and someone else, and you are laughing. So we've got West Brom. They rotate nicely with Sunderland, and that costs 9.5 because Pantillon comes in at 5. And I think they obviously rotate with Aston Villa as well, home and away. But in terms of fixtures, they rotate with Sunderland pretty well. I think, from my season ticket, I thought they rotated pretty well with Stoke. So him and Butland would be the ideal one. It's just that in the first week, you either play West Brom, you play City at home, or Stoke against Liverpool at home. And you know, I wouldn't hesitate playing Stoke defender against Liverpool at home. I think they keep a clean sheet there. And then, yeah, actually, no, they rotate pretty good because then Brom have got Watford away in game week 2, and then Stoke have Norwich away, game week 3. Yeah, you can play them there. Bam, bam, bam. No, they rotate really well up until game week 12, when West Brom plays Man U away and Stoke plays Chelsea at home. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind that one because I like Stoke and West Brom this season. All right, so let's look at the defenders. The three nailed-on defenders, Jolyon Lescott, is it Craig Dawson, and Gareth McCauley all come in at 5. So there's no nailed-on defender at 4.5. That leaves us with Pocagnoli, Jonas Olsen, and this Gamboa fella, Christian Gamboa. So we just have to sit tight. If a defender is nailed on at 4.5, I would consider doing some surgery to my rotation and look at fitting one of them in. Because, I mean, we all know, I mean, statistically, they're always terrible. West Brom, like, can see heaps of shots in the danger zone and stuff. But it's Tony Pulis. He's like his tactics. He just sets out his team in a way that they can, you know, take all these shots and still get the clean sheets. And then, you know, and that's good for bonus as well. Like, the defenders will work all day. Maher will be saving all day and getting those, potentially getting those clean sheets and getting the bonus points as well from the save points. All right, so let's move on to the midfield. There's nothing there that stands out. Chris Brunt's at a position. Ah, oh, that's right. Chris Brunt's the other defender, and he's listed as a midfielder. So that's what's happened there. Unless that changes, then there's no point looking at Brunt or the midfield there, or the defense. Then I'm not even sure who starts. You got Sessegnon, McLean probably won't start. Oh, Craig Gardner. He will be starting at 5.5. No one's talking about these guys, and probably rightly so. I mean, the only West Brom thing you're going to consider is their defence. Strikers, Berahino, yeah, he looks good, 6.5, I'd consider him. So yeah, Berahino, or the keeper, 4.5, that's it. All I would consider out of West Brom at the moment. Alright, let's move on to, our last team, West Ham, what have we got? Adrian at 5, it's priced pretty fairly. Defenders, alright, we have to keep an eye out on this. Winston Reid's 5, Cresswell's 5.5. Cresswell's nailed on. Reid and the new guy will be the two centre-backs from what I hear. And then the right-back will be, I can't remember, who's the right-back? I don't know, who plays right-back for West Ham? I can't remember. Oh, it's Cresswell might be right-back. I can't remember, I'll have to look up that one. Anyway, I would, yeah, but who's Tompkins is 5 as well. 5's probably a bit, yeah, if Reid was 4.5, I'd probably consider him. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah, midfielders, we've got Payet. I'm not sure how to pronounce his new name. I'll have to wait till I watch a game with the commentary. But Dimitri Payet, the French dude, 7.5, he's overpriced. Definitely for the watch list. By reports, he's a brilliant player. I'll just watch and I'll get him in if he starts doing well. Stuart Downing, I heard he's leaving to Middlesbrough, but I'm not sure now. At six and starting somewhere in an attacking fashion, definitely a bargain. He's probably underpriced almost. I'd consider him. So just watch that one. So yeah, they're the two there. Stuart Downing, Payet. I think Nolan's finished now, isn't he? That comes to our strikers. So, Diaf Rosako, he is in my draft. I love this dude. I think he's going to do well. 6.5, very cheap. He's almost underpriced by like probably a 1.5. I would have paid probably 7.5 for him. So that's really good stuff. They've definitely priced him generously. Cool. So that's it. I'll probably conclude there. This has been a long pod, but these are all my thoughts my initial reactions to the prices as they come in. Cool. Oh, I've got to mention. Did I mention Kabay from, because he's just been signed by Crystal Palace. I think I did mention him, didn't I? Yeah. Cool. Anyway, so that's it. Thanks for listening. I hope you got something out of it. I enjoyed doing that. I even realised that Alderweireld from Tottenham might be a good pick. Awesome. No worries, guys. See you next time.